Father Steve is baptizing on Shell Island this morning, and so we had asperges in which you were sprinkled with holy water from the River Jordan. I shall speak to you for a moment in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Joseph and the amazing Technicolor dream coat, in Hebrew, paskitonet. Scholars do not agree about whether that was a long robe reaching down to the feet or a coat with long sleeves or actually a Technicolor dream coat. According to modern scholars, paskitonet means a long-sleeved coat such as ordinary people did not have in those days. An ordinary shepherd might have a jacket without sleeves, a vest-like thing, but nothing fancy like a paskitonet. In any event, the Hebrew Masoretic text translates it a coat of many colors, and I'm sticking with that, and I visualize a madras jacket, and the rabbis are on my side. Now, you may know that the Joseph story is the longest in the Bible. It stretches from Genesis 37 all the way through to the end of Genesis, chapter 50. Born late in Jacob's life, the son of his beloved Rachel, Joseph is a brat. He's full of himself. He's daddy's favorite. He's a pet. He's a tattletale on his brothers, and while they go off to work, he goes back and forth between them and his daddy as the informer. He's the junior brother at the very bottom of the ladder age-wise, but he has wacky dreams about being better than his older brothers. He brags about it stupidly and stirs jealousy, hatred, even hatred unto murder. Joseph, the spoiled brat. Now, you've been here before while we were reading. You know that being an undesirable character runs in the family, didn't it? Abraham twice deviously passed off his beautiful wife Sarah as his sister so that the king in front of him would buy her as a concubine instead of killing Abraham to seize his wife as a widow. Isaac did the same thing. And then, of course, there's Jacob, Joseph's father. In all the Bible, no one is a more shameless liar and cheat than Jacob. You've heard the stories over the past few weeks. Uncle Laban was also a schemer, and so was Rebekah, Jacob's mother. And now Joseph, the favorite son, following along in the family footsteps, obnoxious, overbearing, to his brothers detestable. Why does God call such people? And the Bible doesn't even try to hide it, doesn't even gloss over it. Why does God call such people? Responding to God's hand in a personal crisis, as the story goes, 18th century English hymn writer William Cowper wrote the hymn, "God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform." God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. God is mystery. We cannot say why God calls us. We can only see in this story, when all is said and done, that Abraham and Isaac, Jacob and Joseph were the very foundation of God's plan of salvation for Israel. Joseph, with his coat of many colors, is so spoiled and obnoxious that his brothers overmind to kill him. But you heard the story, an opportunity arises, and they sell him to slave traders instead. And then they lie to Jacob that Joseph must have been killed and eaten by wild animals. Jacob is, of course, inconsolable with grief at the loss of his favorite son. The slave traders then take Joseph off to Egypt. They sell him to Potiphar. Potiphar is Pharaoh's captain of the guard. But Joseph, unfortunately, is so sexy that the captain's wife tries to seduce him. And when he resists, she lies about him to her husband Potiphar, and Potiphar has Joseph thrown into prison. The story continues. In prison, The chief jailer sees that Joseph is smarter than the rest, and he puts him in charge of all the other prisoners. Before long, this Joseph of the weird dreams correctly interprets the dreams of two new prisoners who are among the king's chief servants. There is the chief baker and the chief wine steward. The baker's dream is most unfortunate. It is deadly bad news. He is executed, decapitated. He is beheaded and his head stuck on a pole for the birds to peck out. The wine steward's dream is better. He's returned to service in the king's household, and he forgets about Joseph, who asked to be remembered to Pharaoh. But then 2 years later, Pharaoh has a puzzling nightmare, and a nightmare again, and a series of nightmares that none of his wizards can explain. But then the wine steward remembers Joseph's dream wisdom and tells the Pharaoh. And so Joseph is brought out of prison and interprets the nightmares. There will be 7 years of prosperity, followed by 7 years of famine. Preparation must be made for the famine, or all will perish. And so Pharaoh asks Joseph for advice, and Joseph, never shy, gives it, tells the king how to handle the calamity. Joseph is then seen as so wise that the king gives him power over all of Egypt, managing the time of prosperity such as to survive the famine that will follow. It comes to pass, as Joseph told the king's dream, when the famine comes, it spreads over all the known world. Only Egypt under Joseph has plenty of food for everyone and to spare and share and plenty to sell. But meanwhile, back in Canaan, Jacob still lives with his huge family, and they are starving. They also are suffering the famine. Hearing, though, about the plenty in Egypt, Joseph sends 10 of his sons to buy food, keeping only Benjamin behind. When the brothers arrive in Egypt, they are confronted by Joseph, who instantly recognizes them, but of course they do not recognize him. Accusing them of being spies, he's starting a trick on them. He finds out everything about the family, including that Joseph and Benjamin are still alive. Joseph then sells them grain. He hides their money in the top of their sacks. He keeps Simeon hostage, and he tells them not to return without the youngest brother, Benjamin. So the Jacobson brothers go back home to Jacob in Canaan. Time goes by, and they run out of food again, and Jacob sends them back to Egypt very, very reluctantly, letting them take Joseph along. Again, they come before Joseph, and seeing Benjamin after all these years, Joseph is overcome with emotion. He goes off privately to weep, and then he collects himself and has all of his brothers to his house for lunch. They still do not recognize him. After lunch, he fills their sacks with grain. Once again, he hides their money inside the sacks, and this time he hides his own silver drinking cup in Benjamin's sack and sends them off. Joseph lets them get barely out of town, and then he sends officers out to search the sacks, looking for the silver cup, and bring them back under arrest. And so the Jacobsons return to Joseph's regal presence, absolutely frightened to death. After a severe interrogation, Joseph tells them that they may go free, all of them, except Benjamin, who obviously stole the cup, and he's keeping Benjamin as a slave. Well, Judah, whose idea it was, had been to sell Joseph into slavery in the first place instead of killing him, Judah offers himself to be slave in Benjamin's place, explaining that their father Jacob will die of sorrow if he loses Benjamin after losing his beloved Joseph. Joseph is now so overcome with emotion that he breaks down weeping, and he finally reveals himself. I'm Joseph. I'm your brother Joseph. They're shocked. They're terrified. But this powerful, most powerful man in all Egypt is their brother Joseph, whom they sold off into slavery so many years ago. But Joseph forgives them, and with Pharaoh's blessing, he sends them back home again to get Jacob and return with all his family so that Joseph can look after them. The Bible says that Jacob lived for many years under Joseph's love and care. And at the end of his long life, Jacob gave all 12 of his sons a blessing with a magnificent, beautiful blessing for Joseph. And he gave Joseph's two sons a special blessing. Jacob died in Egypt and was taken home to Canaan for burial. Joseph's brothers now fear that with Jacob dead, with their father dead, Jacob will start taking vengeance against them for selling him into slavery. But Joseph says that most famous of all lines in Genesis, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, that many lives might be saved." Joseph lived in Egypt to age 110. When he died, his bones were preserved so that when God called the children of Israel out of Egypt, Joseph's bones might be carried back home to the land of Canaan. And you see, that's exactly what happened. Hundreds of years later, when Moses left Egypt in the Exodus, he carried the bones of Joseph home to the promised land. This beloved old story of God's mysterious way with Joseph and the Jacobson brothers is the word of the Lord. It's the word of the Lord. And I've told it to you this morning in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.